How to Start Outsourcing Your Marketing Labor with Jess Ostroff, Episode 27. Let's do it. Welcome to the Money Diver Podcast. I am Borja Bezzo, and every week I bring you step-by-step actionable online marketing strategies that you can implement in your business to see the results fast. So let's the diving begin. Hey, what's up, amigos? Welcome back to another episode of the Money Diver Podcast. Today we're talking about outsourcing some of your marketing labor and getting a virtual assistant with Jessica Ostroff from Don't Panic MGMT. And I just got back from a trip to Chile where I once again experienced the grace of having a virtual assistant that handles all the difficult work for me so that I can, you know, just relax and don't worry about any episodes not going live or any work not being done, because I have someone that is taking care of that for me. And by the way, Chile is a wonderful country. I went there to visit my sister. Actually, I went there for her wedding. And I was fascinated by the culture in that country. I'm extreme sports fanatic. And you can do everything you want in that city, in Santiago. You can do motorcycle, off-road racing, skiing. You have Valle Nevado, which is a ski station just 40 minutes away from the city. You can go surfing, again, like 40 minutes away from the city to towards the sea. You can do mountain biking. There's even a mall called the Mall Sport, which is exclusively for sports. All of the stores in that mall are sports. And it's awesome. I was in love with that city. Not been there before, but this time was pretty unique. So again, we're gonna talk with Jess Ostroff today about how you can hire a virtual assistant to take care of some of the marketing tasks that you might be doing in your business, like editing blog posts or editing your podcast or your social media or anything like that. Again, you don't want your virtual assistant to be you. You just want them to do the things that you cannot, that you should not be doing, so that you can focus on do the things that only you can do, like actually create the podcast or, you know, record a podcast or write the blog post or talk to people. Also, this week we have another contest going on so that you can potentially win a WordPress theme by smarter.com. Head on over to don'tpanicmgmt.com/VA participate to read the guidelines and get started with the contest. Again, that's don'tpanicmgmt.com/VA participate. Now let's get started with our interview with Jess. So Jess, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me. It's nice to talk with you today.
Yeah, me too. So, all right, tell us a little about how you became an expert in marketing, how you came to work for companies like Convince and Convert, Don't Panic, MGMT, and your experience with virtual assistants.
Sure. So I was a marketing major at NYU's Stern School of Business, and that's kind of how I started getting into the marketing space. And this was, it was not pre-internet, but it was when, you know, certain professors were starting to use more online tools and were starting to talk more about how marketers can connect online. And I was really interested in the technology side of things, and I knew I wanted to do something that was innovative and different, but I didn't quite know what. And a lot of my friends at the time were, this was, you know, New York City, so big into investment banking and accounting and all those things that I did not think were fun at all. So I didn't really want to go into that kind of environment. You know, I didn't want to just work at a marketing department in a bank, for example. So I wanted to find something different that I could do that was still going to be marketing focused and, you know, working with people and all that kind of stuff. And I started doing some research into what kind of tools were out there. This was 2009, and I finally joined Twitter. I had heard about it, but I hadn't taken the leap yet. And one of the first people I followed on Twitter was Jay Baer, and I had interned for Jay when I was in high school one summer, and he continued to be a friend and a mentor and somebody that I looked up to when it came to making decisions about my career. So I connected with him again after it had been a couple of years at that point, and kind of just was asking, what are you up to, and what do you think I should be doing? Not that he would really know, but he always had good insights. And at the same time, he was also looking for somebody to help with his new business, which was Convince and Convert. That business he had started in 2008, and it was really just him writing a blog and doing consulting. And when I heard that he was looking for a virtual assistant, this was through Twitter. He was one of the few people I followed on Twitter. I said, "Why don't you hire me?" and you know, because we had worked together before, and because I had some of the experience that he was looking for at the time, he said, "Sure, let's give it a try." And at that point, I was really only doing, you know, speaking, booking, and researching for blog posts, and managing his schedule, doing travel, things like that. So it's very, you know, traditional virtual assistant work. And over time, you know, I started to do more of the marketing aspect of things, and also started to get some other clients because of, you know, the success that we were having with Jay. And I think it just kind of grew organically, where it happened to be, you know, 2009, the economy in America had tanked, you know, the year before, and it was hard for people to find jobs. People were getting laid off. And the idea of running their own companies was very appealing. So more and more people were starting businesses, but then as their businesses were growing, they were needing more and more help. And that's kind of where my experience and my company, which at the time it was not a company yet, you know, it was just me as a freelancer, but that kind of, you know, the skills that I had were really related to communication and marketing and organization. And that's a lot of what people needed at the time. And in addition to the traditional communication and scheduling, they also needed help building up their online presence, because that's how people were hearing about their business at that time. And, you know, continues to that, you know, online marketing thing continues to grow, obviously, as you know. And so, yeah, just grew organically from there. And then in 2011 was when I really started to see the momentum pick up pretty quickly. And I couldn't do everything on my own anymore. So that was when I started hiring some contractors to help. And that was when I actually incorporated Don't Panic Management. Rest is history.
That's quite an appealing story. Basically, because you grew very organically and everything sort of worked. And everything, you know, a lot of times success comes from being in the right time and the right place.
Right.
You know, a combination of factors there. And what type of task were you doing for Jay in terms of marketing?
So back then, it was mostly not marketing. You know, it was, like I said, it was mostly administrative stuff, but then I started to help him manage the blog. And so in that capacity, it was, he started having guest bloggers come on. And so I'd kind of coordinate with the guest bloggers, read their work, make sure it was good enough for the blog, and get it edited and formatted, which, you know, maybe isn't seen as direct marketing, but at that, you know, and at that point there wasn't a name for content marketing, but that is, you know, partly content marketing now, is making sure the blog was in good shape. And from there, my role with Convince and Convert evolved into becoming the managing editor, which is what I do now. And I manage all of the content that we put out, including the blog, which we publish 10 times per week. We also have, I think it's 5 podcasts now, launching a 6th one in a couple of months. managing the audio production, the show notes, coordinating with the guests, and also the Jay Today video series. You know, Jay records those, and then me and my team upload those and write the show notes for those. What else do we do? Email. It's mostly email, blog, podcast, and shows. And then we have somebody else on the Convince and Convert team who does all the social media, which of course is a whole other animal that requires a lot of attention. So that's where we're at now.
And it can be very overwhelming, sort of, you know, figuring out what type of tasks we should be, you know, letting go of, because I personally, as a business owner, I have a hard time letting go of things. You know, everything from graphic design and development, absolutely everything. I like, you know, I'm very perfectionist, and that's one of the, you know, the worst things that someone can do as an entrepreneur or a business owner, because it sucks up all your time and you never actually get anything done because you're implementing so much time into things that don't really move the needle. So it can be very challenging for sure.
Definitely.
So thinking as someone who wants to hire his or her first virtual assistant, what's the first thing that they should do?
Well, I think that figuring out what is taking up the most of your time and energy is a really good thing to do. Chris Ducker, who is a friend and fellow virtual assistant expert, talks about something that he likes to call the 3 lists to freedom. Mm-hmm. And I think he always recommends that to people who are starting from nowhere. And I think it's a good place to start. I don't call it that, but I call it, you know, what are the things that you need to be doing? What are the things you don't want to be doing? And what are the things you shouldn't be doing, basically? And when I say shouldn't be, it means that you're not uniquely qualified to do those things. So maybe you can manage your own calendar, or you can manage your own Twitter presence, or your own blog, or your own emails, or whatever, but maybe you shouldn't be doing that because you are really uniquely qualified to close deals and sell new business, for example. So figuring out the things that are giving you your biggest headache, you know, your biggest pain points, and figuring out if there are things on that list that you have to be doing, that you yourself have to do. And if so, you know, sorry, you can't get rid of those yet. But if there are things on those lists that you don't need to be doing, that's the kind of person that you need to find to fill that role. And it's important to find somebody, especially if you're starting and you're looking really for a partner. That's what it is. It's not just a virtual assistant. It's somebody that you can count on to be your right-hand person in your business. And I think what happens sometimes for people, and I've heard these stories before, these horror stories about working with virtual assistants, and I had trouble understanding them for a while because I couldn't imagine this ever happening. But what people had said was that, you know, they hired somebody to do something for them, and not only did they screw up the project, but they just took the money and ran something like that. And they never heard from them again. And I'm thinking, you know, how could that happen? You know, how could you hire somebody that for such an important role? And I think that's what's really important to think about in the beginning, is that this isn't just an assistant and you know, you shouldn't undermine the work that an assistant does, I guess is my point, because it's very important work, and keeping you on track so that you can grow your business is so important. And I think that if you hire somebody that you don't really respect or don't really know or don't really pay very well, that you're going to get bad work and you're going to get somebody who runs away with your money and doesn't come back. So thinking about it more as a partner in your business, somebody that you trust, somebody that you can respect and be able to bounce ideas off of, who maybe isn't just, you know, a college intern. Maybe that's a possibility, but somebody who actually cares, if possible, somebody who actually cares about what you're doing and cares about your industry and cares about seeing you succeed. And I think the best virtual assistants are people who do look at the bigger picture and who don't necessarily, you know, want to start their own company, but they want to help somebody who's doing something that matters. And if you've started a business, you are doing something that matters. Even if it only matters to a very small percentage of the population, it does matter. And you are responsible for making other people understand that what you're doing matters. And that's what you need to be doing for your team, is making sure they know this is important work, and that just because you're an assistant and maybe an assistant doesn't get as much fame or glory as the entrepreneur, your work is just as important because you're supporting this business. So I think that's the first thing, is thinking about what you want this person to do and what role you want them to fill, not just what tasks you want them to do, because the overall role is much bigger than the sum of the tasks. The role is keeping you on track. The role is keeping you sane, you know, yes, making you not worry. You know, that's why my company's called Don't Panic Management, because we're getting people who came to us who were like, I'm losing my mind. I can't sleep. You know, I have all these things to do and I don't even know where to start. And what we try to provide is things behind the scenes that get done on time, you know, when you need them to get done, and kind of just run like a well-oiled machine in the background so that you don't have to worry about them.
Yeah, and a lot of times I wake up like in the middle of the night, mm-hmm, with some ideas and tasks that I want to do, and I'll write them on my Evernote, to which my assistants have access. When I wake up in the morning, I won't even remember. And my assistants, the ones that are overseas, they'll say, hey, it's complete. We've done the task. And I'll be like, what? That's a great idea, man. How do you come up with that? And then they'll be, no, you wrote it on your Evernote, man. And I'll be like, oh, again.
So you have your best ideas in the middle of the night.
Absolutely. Oh, yes. And that's a huge struggle for me when I want to sleep. And mm-hmm, I think coffee plays a big factor in that, because I drink a lot of coffee. I mean, I don't know. I try to keep coffee, you know, sort of have a coffee curfew at 2 p.m. in the afternoon.
That's good.
Yeah, just to make sure that I can sleep at night. But I have a lot of my ideas at night, and I'll just write them for my assistants when it's relevant for them. But we were talking about letting go, right? And knowing what tasks you should not be doing. But that's the thing, right? You have to know. You have to sort of meditate and trust, mm-hmm, yourself and say, okay, yes, this is something that I have to let go of. Because one thing is, you know, just saying that people should know what they should not be doing. Mm-hmm. But another thing is, you know, people trusting themselves to actually, assimilate or realize that those tasks should not be doing, you know, they should not be doing those tasks.
Right. And I think some people take the other route where they think, okay, I know I need an assistant, so I'm just going to hire an assistant, and then expect the assistant to know what you need. And that's totally backwards. You know, you're in charge. So you have to figure out what you need before you even start looking to hire an assistant. You have to figure out exactly what those things are, exactly what you said, the things that you need to let go and the things that you need to keep and do yourself. And you can't even start to look for some help until you know. You know, it's like what they always say, oh, you got to help yourself before you can help anybody else. Get that those lists set up of, okay, these are the things I'm going to do. These are the things I'm going to offload. And make sure that that's very, very clear. And that way, when you are looking for somebody, you can make sure that that person either has the experience with the things that you need help with or has the attitude to learn and to be a part of your growing business.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, absolutely. Now, all right, so we know, let's assume we know what tasks we want to let go of, what mm-hmm, tasks we want to outsource. where do we find these assistants in terms of, you know, thinking about the type of people that we should be hiring?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are a lot of networks out there, you know, things like TaskRabbit or Chris Ducker's team. You know, there are agencies, huge agencies out there. I find that the place to start is by talking to your own network of people that you know, because more and more people every day are using virtual assistants and have had good experiences, great experiences, and terrible experiences. And I think having a personal recommendation from somebody is the best. So starting with the people that you know, the people in your network, asking them what their experiences have been like, if they know anybody that they should, that you should talk to, because the reality is the people that you probably know in your professional network are probably similar to you. And you want to find somebody who has worked with people like you, because then you know that they're going to do a good job. Every industry is a little different. Don't Panic works with a lot of digital marketing type people because we have a lot of experience with content marketing and social media. And that's usually what those folks are focused on and really care about and understand the value of. Maybe another industry, you might need somebody who's more technical, who understands the ins and outs of, well, I don't even know because I'm not that technical, but, you know, some maybe like an industry type person, like a construction type person or something like that. So if you talk to the people in your own industry and in your own network, you're gonna hear about experiences that make sense for your industry. So I think definitely starting there, start to do some searches. I find LinkedIn to be really valuable. Doing some searches for either virtual assistant, or maybe you're looking for, maybe it's not really a virtual assistant you want, but it's a social media assistant. You know, maybe you want somebody who can take, you know, 5 to 10 hours a week of social media management off your plate. So maybe looking at that in LinkedIn and doing some searches of people who specifically call themselves social media assistants and kind of reaching out and feeling out how those people normally work. Definitely putting together a job description before you even reach out to these people is really important. You don't want to just start with, hey, yeah, I need an assistant, help me. You know, you want to have it listed somewhere, even if it's a private link on your website that you only share with the people that you're interested in. But make sure you've taken the time to write that out, because that also helps you flesh out, again, you know, some of those things that you might not realize that you need, but you actually do need, or maybe help you think more about, well, how would this work for a virtual person? You know, I've heard people talk about some of the things that they need, and I'm like, you don't need a virtual assistant. You need a personal assistant, like, in your house. You know, like, it's right. There are different things for different people in different roles. So when you actually write out what that description looks like, you can flesh out some of those details and also help you hone in on the type of person that you really need, which will help you search for that person and explain to the people that you're talking to exactly what you're looking for so they can help you find somebody. I definitely think that your network or the people that you know helping you find the right person is the best way to go. But if you don't have that, starting to do some searches on LinkedIn and maybe even some of those bigger virtual assistant agencies is important. I also think it's important to think about what your budget is, you know, what your high-end budget is, because, you know, and what you're not willing to budge on, because you can totally get somebody in, you know, outside of the United States for a very affordable price, but you also have to think about whether that will sacrifice any quality for you, and also whether you care about being in the same time zone as somebody. You know, for some projects and some tasks, it doesn't matter what time zone you're in, it doesn't matter when you're doing the work, as long as it gets done. For other projects, you know, maybe you're somebody who works in Los Angeles and you get an influx of meeting requests that need to be responded to, like, within the hour, and maybe you need somebody on your same time zone to be able to accommodate that. So thinking about those kind of things, as well as what the tasks are, because you're going to have to set a limit of, you know, am I willing to hire somebody in a different time zone? Am I willing to hire somebody that is a little more expensive that I want, you know, because they have the right experience and the right skill sets? You know, thinking about those things as well before you start the search.
Yeah, and something that I have seen work for a lot of people is going to Facebook groups that are related to the task that you want to outsource and connecting with people there and finding assistance there. I've seen a lot of people, you know, get great success from doing that. So,
right.
Yeah. So, how do you build trust? Because that's key, right? Communication and trust with a virtual assistant. How do you create that connection with them?
Yeah, it's tough, you know, and I think that's part of why getting that personal recommendation is really important. You know, if somebody said to me, oh, you should talk to this person because I think you would really like them, you should meet them, you know, or something like that, I'm immediately going to take a different approach into that meeting than I would have if I just saw them on the street, right? So it's the same thing with hiring anybody. When you get a personal recommendation, you've got one foot in the door already. But if you don't, I think communication, over communicating, especially in the beginning, is key. What we like to do, especially for the kickoff meetings and, you know, especially in the first couple weeks, is doing video calls, you know, through Skype or Google Hangouts if we have never met in person. Some of the people that we work with, we actually met them, you know, at a conference or at some kind of event. So we have taken some personal time with them before, and that definitely helps build trust, you know, seeing somebody in person, making time for them, you know, not just saying hello and goodbye, but actually sitting with them and maybe talking about their family, talking about their kids or whatever it is. That personal connection definitely helps build trust. But if you can't have that and it is a virtual relationship, doing video calls, having standing weekly meetings, even if they're not on video, you know, doing a phone call every week, making sure you're checking in with them ahead of time. If you know something is, you know, either on track or going to be late, you know, just over communicating everything in the beginning and making sure they feel like you're really paying attention and that you're really on track with everything that you said you were going to do for them. Because I think the worst thing for a new virtual assistant relationship is when the manager doesn't know what's going on right. And doesn't know what the virtual assistant is doing. You know, they're thinking, well, I paid you for this work, or, you know, I told you what to do and I haven't heard anything for a week. Even if the project isn't due for another week, check in with the person and make sure that they know that, okay, I'm working on this. You know, you might not have a really, you know, exciting update for them, but even just letting them know that you're working on it and that you plan to have it done on time is really important for building trust. And I think over time, you know, as they start to see that you are meeting deadlines, that you're exceeding their expectations with the work product, you don't need to have that over communication as much. And you may not even have to do weekly calls anymore. But even if you're not doing weekly calls, doing monthly calls, or even just some kind of like, let's check in with each other for 5 minutes on Skype, making sure that connection stays there, because a virtual relationship is really hard and there are a lot of things that could go wrong. Yeah. And, you know, having that ongoing connection and maybe even talking a little bit about some of your personal life. I think there's nothing wrong with knowing more than less about the people that you're working with, so that you can continue to build that respect as well and say, oh, you know, especially if it's somebody who's doing your schedule or like your social media, for example, knowing what you're doing. Like if I'm like, hey, Jay, you know, you're in Vegas, why don't you check out this restaurant? And then maybe he has a great experience and then talks about it to other people, or, you know, some kind of, then he feels like I really care about him,
right?
As opposed to being just somebody behind the scenes that doesn't have a connection. So I think over communicating and building the personal connection with the people you work with is a really important way to build trust.
So what restaurant would you recommend in Vegas? I'm just kidding. So we know what we want to outsource. We know where to find people and how to build a connection with them. Now, what type? How do we create a plan that can we that can be outsourced? And how does that plan looks in terms of helping the virtual assistant on understand what we want to get done?
Yeah, so ideally you've hired somebody that does have some experience in doing the things that you're looking to outsource. But even if they have the experience, everybody does things a little bit differently. So it's important for you to be really diligent about your processes and about which things are most important to you. So some people might say, you know, I want you to manage my blog, and I really want to know what is happening every day. You know, I want you to send me an email at the end of the day that tells me exactly what's going on, you know, what blog post is going live tomorrow, what blog post is going live next week, and I want to know that every day. Some other people might assign the same task and say, I don't need to know what's going on every day, but I really want you to make sure that you format the post a certain way. And maybe that's the thing that's most important to them. And they'll go in at the end of each day and double check them or something, but they don't need you to send a check-in email every day. You know, everybody has their own little quirks and pet peeves and things that they really want done right. So figuring out what those things are for you and figuring out what that means in terms of your process is really important. I think, like, again, similar to as when you're building trust, when you have a new relationship as a manager, over communicating that in the beginning is really important too. So the assistant should be over communicating and the manager should be over communicating. And that means maybe creating a folder in Dropbox that has the screen flow of how you do something, plus a checklist for all the things that you look for when you're doing the things, plus an actual written document, maybe like a transcript of the screen flow. Having all of the things in one place for the assistant to access as they're doing the project. That way, I mean, I think if there are always going to be questions, right? Especially in the beginning. But if you've mapped out your exact process and done it in a really clear, cohesive format, the risk of something being done not to your liking is lower. And you always want to figure out ways to make this relationship as low risk as possible. So, you know, between having weekly meetings, identifying and mapping out your processes and over communicating, you're going to have a successful relationship. Now, if you've done all these things and the assistant still manages to not get things done on time and not follow your format, well, it's probably not the right fit. Yeah. But if you've done all these things, and I think not only putting together your processes is really important, but setting a clear deadline. Even if you don't have a deadline, I mean, I work with some people who are like, I've had these 10 things that I want to do and I've wanted to do since I started my business, and I've never done them. And I don't really have a deadline on them because I haven't done them in 2 years. And I'm like, okay, well, let's just set a deadline. You know, just pick a day, even if it's arbitrary. Set reasonable deadlines and stick to them, and make sure your assistants are holding themselves accountable for sticking to your deadlines, even if it's not, you know, a matter of life and death, which it never is in marketing. But, you know, making sure that you are communicating clear instructions, clear deadlines, and keeping the lines of communication open for questions. And yeah,
I would definitely emphasize on clear instructions. I mean, When outsourcing has gone wrong for me is when I don't give like super detailed instructions, and I've learned that, you know, the hard way. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been like, hey, this is sort of what I want to get done. Go out and do it. Mm-hmm. And not even having a clear deadline and not even specifying, you know, what I want done. And this is specifically important for graphic design stuff as which is one of the top tasks that people get outsourced. Now what I do is I create a spreadsheet and a step-by-step written document. I also do video tutorials of me actually doing the task. I'll record the screen and send everything to my assistant. And that's that's specifically important if you have an overseas assistant where communication right. where communication is hard, you know, harder and it's difficult to make them understand what you actually want to get done.
Right, exactly. And I think over time, I mean, some people are like, oh man, this is a lot of work, yeah. you know, but it's more work to do the project over again or to go through the whole hiring process over again. So yeah. yes, you have to invest some time up front in creating those processes and creating those screen flows and those documents, but it's going to be worth it. And what often happens over time, I mean, Jay and I hardly talk anymore because we, you know, he knows he can just say, hey, do this. He doesn't have to explain anything, doesn't have to set a deadline on it, you know, because we worked together for so long. But you can't expect that kind of relationship right off the bat. And I think that's important just from an expectation perspective as you're hiring somebody, that you both the manager and the assistant, need to invest a lot of time and energy up front in order to make the relationship successful.
Okay, let's dive into the detailed sort of tasks in marketing that people can outsource, sort of social media, Facebook, Twitter, or search engine optimization, or, you know, what have you. What are, you know, the top marketing tasks that you would recommend people start outsourcing?
So I think that content creation is really important for every business. And I think a lot of people get hung up on that because they're like, I don't have anything to say, I'm not a good writer, whatever it is. So figuring out a content strategy, and maybe if you don't like to write or you don't think you're a good writer, doing a video series or doing a podcast, doing some other kind of media that is going to help you get your name and your brand out there. Once you've figured that out, an assistant can really help from a production standpoint. So, for example, if you know you want to write a blog post and you feel like you don't have time to do it, one thing that we do is we'll get on the phone with the person for maybe even 15, 20 minutes. It doesn't have to be a long conversation. And, you know, you might tell us the topic and you might tell us your goal for the article. And then we develop kind of interview questions that we ask, and we'd record that conversation, maybe get it transcribed. And then we would ghostwrite a blog post in your voice based on that conversation. That's one thing that a good, you know, content assistant can help with. Same thing if you're doing a podcast. You know, you have to do the legwork of actually recording it, but maybe then you send the file off to an assistant who splices it together, puts the intro music in, puts, you know, the ads or whatever you have within the file, and also does the show notes and uploads to your podcast hosting source and gets it published. So all you really have to do at that point is record the episode, and then the assistant can do the rest. And then outside of content, so once you've got this content machine going, promotion obviously is very important. So it's great to have an assistant who knows, maybe doesn't necessarily help you produce the content, but at least knows what your content schedule is going to be and has an organized system for that. And that's one thing that I see a lot of people struggle with. They kind of have this haphazard scheduling technique to when they're going to publish content. And what an assistant can do is actually help you organize that whole process. Even if they're not doing the content, you know, even if they're not writing anything, they can create an editorial calendar for you, help you stay accountable to that by reminding you of deadlines, you know, if you need it, making sure that they have all the information they need, like links, images, titles, things like that. So then they can then go out and promote the content on social media. And usually we like to abide by the 80-20 rule, which is, you know, 80% of other people's content and 20% of your own. And that might mean, you know, the new podcast that you just recorded or the blog post that we help you write is part of it, but then also curating other people's content in the industry, maybe mentioning events that would be worthwhile for their audience, basically doing research into
what your audience is interested in seeing and reading and sharing, and then curating that content for you in addition to your own content, and putting all of that together in a social media editorial calendar that's organized and clear that you can then go in and approve. And this is another one of those things that is really helpful for people, but often takes time to fine tune, because, you know, unless you're super clear with what exactly you want your voice to sound like online and what exactly the types of articles you want to share, it's going to take a little bit of time for your assistant to hone in on that and be able to, you know, write the kinds of things that you would say. So it's definitely really helpful to get somebody to help with that stuff, but it's another one of those things that you're going to have to invest some time in up front and in giving feedback. You know, I don't really like this article because this, or I wouldn't really say something like that because this. This is what I would say instead. You know, making suggestions, providing feedback, explaining why you like something and why you don't. And then over time, that, you know, social media marketing assistant will be able to figure out a better way to share the things that you want to share.
Right. And what tools do you like using the most?
Oh, I love Google apps. So we use Google Spreadsheets for editorial calendars for social media. We use CoSchedule for blog editorial calendar management.
CoSchedule?
CoSchedule, yes, CoSchedule, and it's a blog editorial calendar, but it also has social sharing capabilities, and so we wouldn't use that for all of our social media scheduling, but we would use it to schedule out blog post shares. So, for example, you probably want to have multiple shares of every piece of content that you want to post, but you don't necessarily want to be, you know, scheduling those out individually. I mean, sometimes we share an article 10 times in a week. With CoSchedule, you can schedule all of those 10 social media posts within the dashboard right away, right as you're publishing the blog post, which is really helpful. So you could maybe have one go out when the article goes live. You could have one go out an hour later. You could have another one go out 4 hours later, the next week, the next month, et cetera, et cetera. So it's nice to have all of the actual internal content sharing in one place, and then have the editorial calendar be set up for approval. You know, we always have our clients approve content before we publish it. And then for actual social scheduling, we really like Buffer. We also like Sprout Social. We had switched over to Buffer within the last year because of some clients that were looking for sharing on a couple of the platforms that Sprout Social didn't support at the time. And I think they do support most platforms now. But Buffer also has some pretty good reports that are included in our plan, whereas something like Hootsuite, for example, their free reports are not very good, and their other reports you have to pay per report. So we found that Buffer is great for social scheduling, and that combined with CoSchedule for blog post scheduling is a match made in heaven. I think.
Fantastic. I love tools. I definitely love tools. I use a lot of tools.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's, I mean, I geek a lot about tools and social media tools. I look to search for startups and, you know, sort of be, how do you call that? I lost the word. The people use the tools first. Yeah, I forgot that. Anyway, yes, thank you so much for everything you have given us so far. Well, where can people go and stay in touch with you and learn more about what you do?
Yeah, so you can visit my website, don'tpanicmgmt.com. MGMT is short for management. I'm on Twitter at Jess Ostroff, and any social network, pretty much, I'm on as Jess Ostroff. And feel free to say hello and check out our website, see if there are any things that you have questions about. I think that every person could use an assistant, even if it's not a virtual assistant, you know, just somebody to help them with their day to day, because life is hard. And, you know, I love talking about this. I'm happy to answer any questions. So just let me know.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jess. And I hope to have you again in the future.
Definitely. Thank you.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Jessica. I hope you take some time and absorb the information and think how you can actually apply this strategy of hiring a virtual assistant and what type of tasks you could be outsourcing and handing off to someone so that you can focus on the things that only you can do. I know for me, it's one of the biggest things, and it's one of the things that I attribute the success of my business for sure, because now I can, you know, wake up early in the morning and focus about creating content and making connections and networking instead of worrying about editing podcasts and scheduling blog posts or writing emails or anything like that. That's just like the busy work. So really, don't procrastinate on hiring a virtual assistant. It's really going to mean the world for your business. It's going to have a huge impact. So remember that you can have all the resources mentioned on today's episode at the show notes page located in moneydiver.com/episode27. And you can also participate in today's contest at don'tpanicmgmt.com/VA participate. Once again, guys, thank you so much for being here. I truly appreciate you and everything that all the feedback that you give back to me is what keeps me going for sure. Go out, plan an outsourcing strategy, and keep on diving.